maybe a Picasso, you know. But I want to be a masterpiece. I want to be everything that God has created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, God, do whatever it takes to get things out of my life that don't need to be there. Mold me into the image of Your Son so that I can be Your masterpiece.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you just said the prayer, so here I am. That's how it works.
Oh, okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know, if I made it snow in here, it'd get kind of yucky, and I really don't want to do that.
See, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
Yes, I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is a very short book. It only has 5 chapters.
Why is it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
You know what? I'm not so much into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yep, I do that. Don't I? Get it again. Step right up. Here we go. Okay.
All right. Hey, what's this about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right.
Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Here we go. Step right up. Here we go. All right.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How do you know what to chisel and what to leave?
I take out all the things in your life that aren't of me, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of that, could you chisel right in here? I just can't get rid of it. I mean, the other went away, but this, I mean, I've tried exercising, I've watched what I ate, I even did Pilates for a while. That was awkward. But if you could chisel,
Are you going to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel, talk, chisel.
No, chisel.
All right, most of my children just like to talk.
Not me. Bring on the chisel.
Here we go. All right. You have a lot of anger.
Ow.
Some pride.
Ow.
Compare yourself to others instead of me.
Ow!
You're lazy, but you pretend like you're really, really busy. You have a problem with lust.
Okay, time out. I do not have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust?
No, I can do it anytime I want. Okay. Wait. Maybe we can take a little time out. I mean, I think I'm doing pretty good.
You are doing good, but when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me!
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and others need to see my son. Here we go.
Okay, hold on. Don't take this the wrong way. It's just that when I start looking more like your son, people get uncomfortable around me, you know? I mean, even my friends at church, they're all like, oh, you're holier than thou. Why won't you do that? You know, I mean...
So what you're doing right now is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
I did not say that.
That's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. I mean, you know everything I'm thinking. I'm just saying, you've done good work. Maybe we take a little break, a little time out. We'll come back to it.
What you're doing right now is so common. What you're doing right now is called control. Do you want to control things in your life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control.
No, chisel. Chisel.
Here we go.
No, can we chisel where I want that?
It's called control.
Okay.
You've been holding on to this for a long time. You ready for this?
Hurts.
It hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Ow! I don't think you understand this pain.
Don't talk to me about pain. I know all about pain. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again. And expecting different results. And there are the things in your life, you even think back to high school, that you've been doing that do not work in your life, but you go to these empty wells whenever you're hurting, whenever you're angry, whenever you're lonely and tired, but they do not work.
No, okay. I'm thinking maybe we can...
Not on my thoughts.
Oh, okay, but if we went another way...
Your ways are not my ways.
Okay, well look, I can't be good.
You can't be good. I've made you good. Be good. What?
Nothing.
What is it?
You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just... God, I've let you down so many times.
No. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand, and don't you forget that. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Away.
All right.
But just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. because I know who's inside there. Because God, I get up every morning and I look at Him in the mirror. And it is this scared little kid who gets up every day and tries to dress like an adult and act like an adult, but I can't. So just be prepared for what you're going to find in there.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that are not of me. You think you're junk, don't you? You really, really, really think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't make junk. What does that say about me? How can I show you that my love for you has no boundaries? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
God.
Yes?
I was just saying, God, I'll do that right now.
You were just saying my name in vain.
You know what? It's a name. It's a saying.
It's more than a name. It's more than a saying. It's more than a bad habit. It's a name above all names. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket. You know what that is?
This is a page from a journal I had when I was younger. How'd you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie Holland.
Other side.
Sorry. I married her.
I was there.
Oh yeah. Dear God, today I am turning everything over to you. I'm not going to hold on to anything anymore. Your word says that you will make me your masterpiece and use me to do great things. I don't see how it's possible, but I want that with all that I am. So please do whatever it takes to make me what you want. I love you, God.
I love you too, Tommy. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. So this salvation that you hold, don't let it be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out, every detail of your life. And don't compare yourself to someone else, because that is just trivial nonsense. You are my original masterpiece. You are one of my workmanship, and you I find favor. This, don't look at this as a prison, but look at this as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, it'll be tough. But you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you said yes to me. It's not how it works. I want you to do something. I want you to look up there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy.
No. The way you see yourself, or you yearn so much for others to see you. But the way I see you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
So are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
Wow, a lot of sermons in there, a message or two or three already that you've heard, and that's tremendous inspiration. Those guys put it in there with a lot of the, as we used to say, put the jam on the pill so you can take the pill, right? Take the medicine. And they sweetened it up and made it really tolerable and spoke so much. And I want to talk about the other side of that, which is as God's masterpiece, we have strengths. We have abilities. And so we are to use our strengths for God. Now in this image of the church, I want you to just take a moment or two looking through the words that describe what's involved in church and what church is all about. And one of the words that's not there, but I want you to think about it, is strength. God has given you strengths. You have areas of strength that you can bring to the church, that you bring when you come, that is part of who you are. And so those strengths are to be used to build up the church. And that's what we're going to be looking at in Romans chapter 15 this morning. And I want you to turn there with me, Romans chapter 15. I'm just going to read the first five verses there and looking at it. And then we're going to look back at what I said last week and how it fits in with where we're going this week. We who have strong faith should help the weak with their problems. We should not please only ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors. Let us do what is good for them in order to build them up. Even Christ did not please himself. It is written, the bad things people have said about you have been aimed at me also. Everything written in the past was written to teach us. The scriptures give us strength to go on. They encourage us and give us hope. Our God is a God who strengthens and encourages you. May he give you the same attitude to one another that Christ Jesus had. Then you can give glory to God with one mind and voice. He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The key word last week was accept, that we are called to accept those of weaker faith in the church. When somebody with their weaker faith, Paul says, hangs on to rules or laws from the past or has standards that are different. For example, he was referring in Rome to the Jewish believers that had come out of Judaism and accepted Christ. And he was talking to about as many Gentile believers that had come into the church out of the world. And the Jewish believers were hanging on to their beliefs about the diet, the dietary laws of the Old Testament, and they were wanting to insist with the believers that they now needed to follow these Old Testament laws that are no longer understood as a means to righteousness, as God's way to purify us, but instead it's through Jesus Christ. And Paul says we, instead of obeying and trusting Christ, want to put these rules on people. We want to give them standards that don't really reflect the faith we have in Jesus. And so the word that we talked about was to accept, to erase in our minds the prejudices, the barriers, the expectations that we have, and allow only God's expectations to rule in how we treat one another, that we accept one another. I talked about the fact that in accepting, it does not mean we endorse, it does not mean we affirm, it means we accept. And what I'm saying is, Jesus went and met with all kinds of people who the Jewish rulers did not accept. People that would be considered sinful or out or lost or be far away from the kingdom of God, such as prostitutes and tax collectors and Pharisees and other types of corrupt people. Jesus made them his friends and spent time with them, went to their parties and enjoyed fellowship with them in the sense of being a friend who accepts. It didn't mean he affirmed. It didn't mean he said what they did was okay and right. In fact, he spoke very strongly about the standards we need to keep and the love that ought to be in our hearts. But he accepted people that were not like him or that he perhaps didn't enjoy that much. But because they needed the Father in their lives, he went to bring them the good news. So today we're going to look at a different word, and that word here in this first verse is ought. We who have strong faith should, is what it says in the version I'm reading. In the NIV it says ought, and in the original language it's a word that has the weight of obligation, of debt. A little bit before this, in chapter 13, verse 8, Paul said, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. And so here he says to us, we who are strong in faith, and he's including himself, and he's saying, we're mature, we've reached faith in Christ, we stand alone on the faith he gives us for salvation, and we know him as our Lord and Savior. We who are strong in faith ought, we have a responsibility, we have a debt that remains, and it's the debt of love. It's the debt to encourage and strengthen the weaker person. He doesn't expect the strong to please the weak in an undiscriminating way. In other words, he's not saying, okay, now, in order to get along, you just agree with everything everyone does. That's not at all what he is saying. But he is saying we have an obligation to the weak to strengthen them. There are literally times when you are the strength someone else doesn't have. You know that, for example, when you're in the hospital and you're very weak and you're struggling physically, someone can come in and be your strength. They can do for you what you cannot do for yourself in that condition, in the same way in the church. There are people who don't know how to handle sin or don't know how to handle temptation or aren't obedient to God in such areas as giving or entrusting. And so we who are strong can be their strength. We can stand in for them, and we can stand with them, and most of all, and this is what's so encouraging, we can see them grow in their faith to where they also become strong. Verse 2, each of us should please our neighbor for their good to build them up. Even Christ did not please himself. We should build up our neighbor. We should please them. In other words, we should talk to them in their weakness and talk to them about their need. And he is saying in the church where someone's faith is in the wrong place, such as these Jewish believers who were trusting in the dietary laws instead of Christ alone. And he said we've got to show them that those laws no longer are the means of salvation. They're not what draws us to God. It is by faith in Christ. And so you don't need all these standards. You don't need all these expectations that had been there before. Now through faith we stand in him. Philippians 2, 5 through 6 in the Message says it this way. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. There is this unfortunate, sad trend that happens when you grow in Christ. It's the sad trend of not caring about others or about bragging about your faith as if it was self-righteousness, instead of coming alongside, instead of being an encourager and a helper. Sometimes we stand aside and think we're superior. And Paul says, and the Bible says repeatedly, that Christ emptied himself to serve us. And so in the same way, we have to abandon our pride and abandon our goals and our expectations sometimes and come alongside one who's weaker in faith and serve them in love in order to build them up, in order to help them. People go through times in life, perfectly good, strong people go through times when they are weak and when they need help or when can you hear? Good. Thanks. Last week, I got complaints that my voice couldn't be heard. This week, I think it's plenty strong. I'm hearing it really clearly. Jesus emptied himself, and he's the example to us. We need to empty ourselves. In other words, set aside our agenda, set aside our priorities sometimes to come alongside and to encourage and to build up and to give faith to the person that's weak. Think about it this way. Somebody caught in the desert, running out of fuel in their vehicle, for example, or running out of water because they didn't plan ahead. We come along and we have enough fuel, we have enough water, so what do? We stop and we give and we share. Well, in the same way in the body of Christ, when we see a believer whose faith is weak, who has a struggle going on in their lives, those of us who have faith, those of us who are strong, need to share our strength with them and serve them as Christ did. In Christ, Jewett says, the strong are obligated to serve the powerless. I already told you this word ought in the first verse, or should as I read it this morning, is a word that says we have a debt. We owe it to the other person. We owe them the help they need. One of the marvelous things about RCN is the way in which we are reaching out to one another and reaching beyond ourselves to care and to help. I remind us from time to time that we give over 15% of all of the dollars that come through our hands away to serve others and give it away in ministry for others, evangelism as well as compassionate care. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of what we do beyond ourselves. Money, in many ways, is a cold or emotionless thing that we write a check for. But what you have done and what you continue to do Monday through Sunday, every week of the year, is make phone calls, spend time, go out of your way, sit down and encourage, write cards of encouragement and notes, or go and shop and help others. And we thank God for that support, for that way in which those who are able help those who have a need. And that's what Paul is saying here that we ought to do. We have this debt. We have this obligation. The strong are obligated to serve the powerless. Now, weak or strong is not a matter of right or wrong. Weak or strong is not a matter of right or wrong. In this passage, Paul is not saying the weak are wrong. Paul is saying the weak need to be helped. Paul is not saying there's right in being strong in your faith and you have more righteousness, let's say, than the one who is weak in their faith. That's not the issue. The issue is that we are here to mutually help each other grow. We're here to grow each other up. There are areas that I have strengths in where I can serve and help, and there are areas that I don't have strengths where others step in with their strengths to balance out the ministry, to expand the reach, and to be a whole body. The beautiful picture from Paul, of course, is when we say if the whole body is an eye, how does the body get around? If we say the whole body is a hand, how does the body see or hear or function? We need all the different parts to function. Now, strength, if we have it, is an illusion if it means that we think we are independent from God. God has given you strengths. God has given you talents. You have abilities. But if you think somehow you got those on your own, or that you deserve some praise or some credit that is not going to God, then you are mistaken. It's an illusion, because our strengths don't make us independent from God. Only in the weakness of confessed dependence on God is there real strength. Let me say this again. Only in the weakness of confessed dependence on God is there real strength. Our strength, our hope, comes from the Lord. We don't manufacture it. It is not ours. He gives it to us, and we grow in it. It's like the plant wanting to take credit for the sun because the plant grew. It doesn't make sense, does it? And so we are not to think that it's ours, our strengths or our abilities or what God has given us. They are from God, provided by God to serve others, to give them away. Many of us have found the wonderful secret of the joy that comes in giving, the joy that comes in serving. I'm not talking about money today so much as I'm talking about time spent with others, talents given to bless others. Think about the men who come and play on the keyboard or on the bass or in the drums, and they minister, or the sound and video people that give their strengths, their talents. They do things I could never do. I can't play those instruments. I don't know a whole lot about technology. They lend their strength so that all of us are blessed and helped by that, because they realize their strength comes from the Lord. And strength as a believer is an illusion if it means claiming independence from other believers. God doesn't strengthen you in faith. God doesn't give you a Christian standing in order for you to leave the church, or in order for you to stand alone, or in order for you to think you don't need the fellowship and the help of others. One of the greatest weaknesses of the North American church as a whole, I'm not just talking about RCN, but of all churches as we look across the spectrum, one of our greatest weaknesses is part of our cultural heritage is this strong independence that each of us have. And so we come to church armed with this thought of, I stand on my own, I made it by myself, and I'm going to keep it for myself. And we isolate and insulate from true community. Many cultures in our world have learned that in community there's strength, not in isolation. And we need to see that in Scripture. And we need to understand that the body of Christ getting through COVID or getting through the political elections or getting through economic hard times or facing up to physical ailments and hurts and diseases, all of those areas are areas where as a body, giving our strengths to each other, we can be greater, and we need to stand together, interdependent, not independent. Only in the weakness of mutual interdependence, as members of one body in Christ, is there the full strength of grace. You see, when I stand alone thinking I made it on my own, I'm missing out on the fact that if I reach out, include, stay part of the body, the grace and the full strength of God's grace comes to work in my life. I was just rejoicing over the weekend of the fact that so many ministries take place and so much good is done that I have very little part in except to be a leader and to encourage and to give freedom to others to do. Last night, for example, the Spanish church, the Latino RCN, was here, and I came in briefly to help them and to be a part just for a little bit. And as I went home, I just thanked God for their ministry and for their service and for the church that's being birthed through us. People who preach and teach in Spanish rather than English, and we encourage them and we pray for them and we thank God for them as they meet. And we are not to be a church staying at the level of the weakest members. In other words, we don't go to the lowest common denominator and say, well, that's as good as we can get. It's the opposite. The church is the place where we all can grow up and do better and be strengthened, and not just in our spiritual walk with Christ, but in our testimony to the world, in the way we manage our own money and finances in our homes, in the way in which we take care of our health, in the way in which we share and witness to others, in the joy and fellowship that we can find together. And so many times in this high mobility area of the country, we have people here for a short time, 2 or 3 years, and then they move on because of job responsibilities or because of retirement. And so as a church, we are here to strengthen them, to equip them, to grow them in Christ. And as they leave, we bless God that we are multiplying our ministry because they're going on better equipped to serve God. And so we thank God for that. We're not to stay at the level of our weakest members, but we are to be strengthening and building and growing in Christ. Because you see, the expectation is that each of us will grow in faith and grace. Faith is seeing through a trusting obedience to God. Your faith, I see it when I see in you a trusting obedience to God. You can say to me, I have faith and I believe you, but I don't sense it, I don't perceive it until you show me your trust in God. In other words, every challenge that comes into your life, every area of difficulty that comes, do you tie it to God and what God is doing for you and through you and what God wants to do in you? Or do you just think you exist most of the time without God and you just plug in on Sunday and unplug when you leave and don't connect Him to all of the areas of your life? I want to challenge us in that for a moment. Because I believe that many times it's a natural human inclination when we leave church, we unplug. And we forget. We get busy in our life. We don't think God is tied into our work, or we don't think God's tied into our finances, or we have emotional problems with our attitudes, or with depression, or with anxiety, and we don't see God as involved in that, and we don't plug into what God has for us in those areas. And that's a tragic waste and miss opportunity. Instead, we need to see every area of our life. And that's why in prayer time, I'll often talk about broken relationships or broken health or loss, and talk about how God is there in the midst of that time in order to guide us in our faith, to strengthen our faith. Remember, the context here in 14 and 15 is that we're to be strong in our faith. And here in this passage that we're reading today, the strong are to help the weak and help them grow. Well, let me suggest some next steps for you. First of all, I just want to encourage you to thank God for your strengths. And you may say to me, Pastor, I don't know that I have any strengths, or I don't know what they are, or I've never thought about that. I thought when I came to church, I was only supposed to hear about what I did wrong. No, when you come to church, you're supposed to be blessed and encouraged for all that God is doing and for the good that's in your life. I want to take a moment, not as a commercial, but just as an example. This is a beautiful little stone. You might not be able to see what is on it, but it says, I am the vine. And it's a beautiful picture of a plant here with blossoms on it. And on the back it says, you are the branches, bear much fruit. Now, Melody is retired, and she, in her retirement, she was telling me, had a ministry in South Africa. In South Africa, her ministry was that of making packages, what we would call care packages for newborn babies. Many times in the hospitals, mothers would leave without anything to provide for their children's needs, their newborn's needs. And so in a big way, she started a ministry, small, but it grew to be big, of giving to hospitals packets for newborn children that many people had a hand in putting together. But Melody came to the United States about 5 years ago, I think it was, and settled down. And 2 years is only 2 years you've been here. And she settled down in her church in California and was looking for a ministry. And so she began to paint these rocks. Now, here's the thing. Wherever she goes, she leaves one. We were in the restaurant a couple of weeks ago, and after breakfast, with the beautiful waitress that took care of us, she just gave her the little rock as a testimony. She said she leaves them in places for people to see and pick up and hear, you know, a little bit of God's word, a little bit of encouragement. See, that's a strength. That's using what you can do to strengthen someone else. The beauty of that is, in many ways, she doesn't know everyone she's strengthening and doesn't know everyone who has been blessed by what she's done. But she's using her strength to minister to someone else. You have strengths. You may not know right now what they are. Ask God to reveal to you your strengths. Listen to others around you as they enjoy what you do, and realize they may be affirming a strength that you have in that moment. And then secondly, find a way for your strength to bless someone else. Find a way to use your strength to bless someone else. I really want to encourage us to bless people that have no church affiliation, people that don't attend church, people that aren't in a circle of love and care. They need it the most. You can be a blessing to them. You can bless them when you see them. You can, by word, by attitude, by gifts, by strengths that you have, use those strengths to help, to encourage, to brighten those around you. And then number three, find one or two you can encourage. Find one or two people you can encourage. One of the things about our strengths is we will draw to ourselves others with the same strengths. They will just naturally see that strength in us and enjoy it and come alongside us, and we then will be able to minister even more through our strengths together. So find your strength in Christ and begin to bless and strengthen others. Because remember, Christ set aside his priorities, set aside his prerogatives, set aside his home in heaven in order to come here. And it says right here to be insulted and scorned and scoffed. Why? For us. Because he wants us to be blessed. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Aren't you thankful to God that Christ is the example of one who set aside his strengths in order to help the weak and to strengthen us? Let's pray together as we think about our time of communion and prepare for those moments. Just open your heart to God in prayer, if you would. Father, we give you praise. Your word is marvelous, and it blesses and it meets the need in our lives in so many ways. The Holy Spirit knows how to speak and use Scripture and the church and the teaching and the preaching to minister to us. We give you thanks for that today. We give you thanks that you've made each one of us in Christ to have strengths, abilities. Abilities that others around us need. Remind us of our debt that we owe. We owe it to you. We don't owe it to the pastor. We don't owe it to the church. We owe it to you. And so we serve you as Lord and Master. And in using our strengths, oh God, we just thank you that we find blessing. We enjoy our strengths, and they are something that glorifies you and honors you. Father, as we enter into this time together of the Lord's Supper, we find in our hearts the joy that we get to experience your goodness. We get to experience that you gave your life for us. You emptied yourself that we might be filled with your Spirit. So we praise you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. I trust that if you're watching online, you've prepared elements that you can receive or partake of at home. I hope it's more than just one by themselves, but that you'll get others around you to receive this, or maybe even stop the tape at this point if you're watching later in the week, and have a time of communion in your home where you can draw together. This supper was instituted by Christ. He is the one who sets the table. He is the one who serves. We are merely the recipients of it. And so through this time, we proclaim the life of Christ, his sufferings and his sacrificial death, the resurrection and the hope of his coming again. He tells us it will show forth his death until he returns. This supper is a means of grace in which Christ is present by the Holy Spirit. It is to be received in reverent appreciation and gratefulness for the work of Christ. All those who truly repent, forsaking their sins and believing in Christ for salvation, are invited to participate in the death and resurrection of Christ. We come together that we may be renewed in life and salvation and be made one by the Spirit. In unity with the church, we confess our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And so we pray. Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We gather in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord, who by your Spirit was anointed to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to set at liberty those who were oppressed. Christ healed the sick, fed the hungry, ate with sinners, and established the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. We live in the hope of his coming again. On the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink all of this. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Continue in prayer. By your Spirit, make us one in Christ, one with each other, and one in the ministry of Christ to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, as Christ our Savior has taught us, we receive from him the symbol of his body. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you, preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. From the very beginning moments of our lives, O God, each one of us have been dependent on others to succeed and to live. And so in these moments we recognize that through this bread of life again, we are dependent on Christ and Christ alone for eternal life. We recognize that all true life flows through and from Christ, who gave himself for us. But not in a detached or impersonal way, but we realize, O God, he spoke in instituting the Lord's Supper those words, "This is my body broken for you," and gave to each of his disciples. And so we, following that great example, receive this humble bread as a symbol, as that which ties us in to the very body of Christ. Tells us that he is our nourishment, he is our food, he is our life. We give you praise for that. In the same way, the scripture says, after the supper, he took the cup. When he had blessed it, he poured and gave it to each of them. The blood of Jesus Christ shed for you, preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ died for you. And be thankful. Father, we are thankful from the depths of our being for this way of expressing in our physical world that which is eternally true. That we belong to you, that we are tied to you through the spiritual DNA that we reaffirm in this communion time. We join with the ages of Christians who have always proclaimed the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ until he comes again. And we join today literally billions of Christian believers who receive these elements and give God thanks for life eternal, life abundant, life beyond description. and eternity as well. And we praise you. We give you thanks. We humbly receive your gift. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's continue our worship together as the guys lead us in praising his name.